Williams, who I decided that I could make it financially.
Yes, but you didn't have to make it financially. Because you couldn't, you see. He said, as a matter of fact, I've taken my phone in the exam, I've taken my deal, I've taken it in the papers. I said, fine. Come with me now, I'll give you a letter from the British consul in which you'll be with. Call this address tomorrow morning in Schmattenburg, where you'll find sufficient money to get across the Russian zone, meet me up at the beginning of the lesson, that good is there on the line. In 14 days' time exactly, I'll pick you up by car, take you to the spend 2 months or 3 months if you've got the time, all right? Well, it was no surprise. But he came with a big long letter, saw me off at the airport the next morning, and 14 days later he was there. This was the second visit, 2 years later. After 10 days, he knocked on my study door on that first visit. He came in just a little bit shy. He said, "How about come, Christian?"
Well, thank you, isn't it, to be the boy of Christ, when he wants to know how.
All right? That was the second visit. Still 3 years later, 5 years from first base, he came to our private school for the winter. He stayed in my staff for a solid year. He went to the English trial, it was 1 year at Reading Bible Institute, 2 years Columbia Bible College, South Carolina, where he graduated in Christian education, all right? And now he's on our full-time staff. There he is on the right. Up in Switzerland, leading one of our Bible conferences there with another Swiss boy, Christian Fisher, not a Christian, converted in my home some Christmas many years ago, who is now also a pastor in Switzerland. Christian Baskin, one on the right, operates primarily in Scandinavia, Norway, Sweden, and some extent in Denmark, also in Switzerland and parts of Germany. And at this very moment, what I'm talking to you is my home and teaching in our Bible school. And he'll be returning in a few days' time to the continent, all right? Going up to Norway. Switzerland's quite a hilly country, as most of you know. And that's just near the north face of the Eiger. You know, that north face that people insist on climbing, and 50% get killed. Every year, 50% kill themselves. Most extraordinary, isn't it? The three boys in the middle are my own boys. All right? It's one of the spots, this one. They have one of the milkshakes. That's a mountain horn. The sound of that will re-echo through the mountains from one mountain to another. I just saw him drinking that milkshake as I passed, I took a picture of it. One of the cows up there, all right, sometimes they're quite friendly, like that one. The cows are on the road, the others are my boys. Christopher on the right, Mark in the middle, Mark Thomas, and Peter on the left. His mother was a very friendly cow, all right? Wasn't that the most about him? In fact, all right, friendlier than you think. I'm not quite sure what you're saying to my little boy, but if you keep very quiet, you'll hear it purring. All right. This was an Austrian Shell engineer in the Austrian Shell Petroleum Company. My wife and I were just in Salzburg, about 10 miles away, on the Austrian side of the border, filling up with gas, or filling the car up with gas, and this fellow was checking the instruments and moving from one gas station to another. It just happened to be while we were there. We got into conversation. He was very interesting. He was not Catholic, but so interesting that he gave me his visiting card, and he said, "If ever you come back to Salzburg, I'd be most grateful if you come visit me in my private home." So I promised him all I could and stuck his card in my wallet. And a year later, I was first of all in Tübingen in southern Germany, speaking to some German students in a Christian group. One of them asked me, even though I was born in Austria, said we had relatives in southern Austria who were in some difficulty, and wondered whether I could take some German money, change it to Austrian money, and post it for them when I got across the frontier. So I said, "I'd be pleased to do that," and gave me the address. Wolfnitz, near Klagenfurt, southern Austria, and the Yugoslavian border. Maybe it would be my diary. When I got to Salzburg, I remember this man looked for the visiting card, which I found, called him, and he was out. I've never seen him since. Never. But while I was looking for that visiting card, I found a letter written in German from a lady inviting me to go to where she lived to preach Christ. Couldn't for the life of me remember where that letter came from. But hoping that she might recognize me. As the lady on the way. She explained that 3.5 years previously she had been visiting her sister on the right in Marburg in central Germany. University town, I've been speaking with students there, and she said it was 3.5 years ago I wrote that letter. It had been my world for 3.5 years. Forgotten completely. If any of you got mail, you might take care of after this meeting, I'd be happy to take care of it. Well, I explained to the behavior that, as a matter of fact, to be quite honest, I wasn't there directly in response to her invitation. I wanted to find a family called Meyer, because this student, whom I've seen in Tübingen, who had given me that money, told me that he had a nephew, a cousin, 50 years of age, whom he had never met, called Gerald. He wasn't sure he was a Christian, and wanted to know if I didn't help him. So I explained to the lady that this was really the family I was trying to find. She smiled. She said, "Joel will be here in a moment. Every week on this day, week at this time, he comes here to meet the girl who teaches him Latin. And almost before she finished speaking, the bell rang. And Joel arrived. Was that a good time? All right. I've forgotten more than 3.5 years. The visiting card of Shell Engineer gives me a year before, and I've never seen since. And that came on the doorstep within 2 minutes. To cut a long story short, this is his sister. He came to my home all right that summer, found Christ as his Savior, sitting in the middle of the floor, with Bernese, those other Austrian kids, Gerrits and Munson on the right. And then I visited him, wrote back in Austria each year, all right? And we had meetings in his home. And finally, in the Lutheran church, after we overcome the inherent suspicions of the Lutheran pastor. And on the way to this particular meeting, which was for young folk and their parents, as a little coffee squash, Gerald, who was in the car, said, "I'd like to pick up two of my friends, their brothers, so we can pick up these two." Dieter had written on the left of his brother. When they were in the car, I said, "Have you been to England?" They said, "No." "So would you like to come?" I said, "Yes." "What about your parents?" They said, "They always had great ambition to send to England, but never been financially possible." I said, "Supposing it was, do you think they'd let you come?" They thought the parents would. So as we were going on, they said, "We'd like to pick up a friend too, all right?" So we picked up this boy, Manfred Golden. I said to Manfred, "Have you been to England?" He said, "No." I said, "Would you like to come?" He said, "Yes." And what about your parents? I said, "Always had great ambitions in the room. It's never been financially possible." I said, "Supposing it was, you didn't know what you can't." "Yes." So we got there, and when I was in the meeting, all right, I noticed another boy on the other side of the room. I couldn't speak to him, was too far away, but somehow, something in my heart said, "That boy would become a Christian." And to my delight, I discovered I was sitting next to his mother. So I said, "Look by the ring." She said, "No." I said, "Would you like him to come?" She said, "Yes, my husband and I always wanted the means that were financially possible." Well, I said, "Suppose it was financially possible. Do you think your husband knew that he didn't come?" And she thought, "Well, the husband wasn't delighted. In my days, the husband was the Lutheran pastor." All right. Well, that's where they all came. They're sitting in the garden by the little one. They were all saved in a matter of days. They were wonderful kids. Two of them were already studying theology for the Lutheran ministry. One on the left, and Manfred Gold on the left. And the boy, Manfred Hamburg, was now Bible school last winter, one on the right. They were wonderful kids. We had tremendous blessing in that area, all right? There are 5 of them now, all together, preparing for the ministry, who have been converted in consequence. Every year, about June, beautiful, lovely weather is there on that Yugoslav in front of you. With beautiful virtues there, lake, where we swim and bathe, and on the top of this roof, we've had Bible studies. 7 kids right there were saved that very often in that Bible study. All right? And year after year, we had groups like this, 15, 16, 20 of them, learning what coming this year. And by a process of life reproducing life, making inroads into that area of a Catholic country, 94% Catholic, all right? Investment in life. There's Manfred Gold on the left, and his brother on the right, who came to Christ up on that roof after we'd been bathing that day, and another boy called Fritz, who came to Christ by the very last stop in this company, Peter Beaumont, whom I picked up hitchhiking 30 years ago, with a list of about 300 miles. It's like that past the blackboard. All of the little bits, you see, prepared by God to fit into the overall picture, just like a jigsaw puzzle. That was in Austria, just near Schloss Klaus, our new Austrian headquarters, all right? Most years I had one or two American boys who come over. Those are two American boys. The boy on the right is the son of a pastor in Brooklyn, Oregon. He's the pastor of the Senior New Bible Church, where I've had many wonderful meetings. The boy on the left is the son of a preacher in Julian, Southern California, near the Mexican border. And I was in his home too, just a few weeks back. And those two boys came over 2 years ago. Instead of summer, I took them around with me to Norway, Denmark, Sweden, Austria, Switzerland, France, and Germany. Quite fun home. All right, that was Norway, that bridge separated Norway from Sweden, where I took that last picture. And there we are, there's the American boy from California in the center with a gray shirt, with a neck, and Brooklyn, Oregon, with the red thing on his head. Eddie, who was in the middle there, came back this year. He's in my Bible school right now. And he's been with us for about a year. And God is wonderfully, richly blessed him. All right? Well, with the Austrian kids, down the side. That's the word material. And if you wait long enough, boys will be men. It just takes time and cornflakes. That's all. And the kind of men come, the kind of boys they are. Just the American boy on the right, Austrian boy on the left. Two members of the body of Christ, both alive, because what he is in them. All right? We've already gone a little bit over time, I'm afraid. If you must go, please, please feel absolutely so good. But the remaining slides will probably, I'm afraid, take about 10 minutes, quarter now. But if you must go, please go. Otherwise, you can come out. This is a kid I first met as a refugee. He was about 11, 12 years of age. It was about 11 years ago. His family had come from the Russian zone. And he heard a strange Englishman sometimes talk German boys back to him and forth to nothing. So while I wasn't looking, he punched my car. And then he hung around. But I didn't know right and green, and I invited him to the meeting, and then he accepted Christ. He was about 11, 12. 7 years later, he didn't come to England, and I took him to England, all right? Gunther King is his name, when he was sitting by the loop. All right? God graciously blessed the boy. I followed him. His family eventually got a lovely new home in Hanover, where he was on the left with his brother Helmut. Then he had to do his compulsory military service until 2.5 years ago, he came to England and joined my staff to understudy Peter Beaumont, whom I picked up hitchhiking. Do you remember? They enlisted him with some Henry Giles. All right? So Gunther is my German assistant in England at this moment. He's just completing his last one term at one train to Glasgow. When I arrive home Monday in 2 weeks' time, he'll be there on the job. Utterly trustworthy. That's his little sister, came to Christ, in our German headquarters about 2 years ago. All right? He has a wonderful knack of leading kids to Christ. That's the boy led to Christ from Germany just the summer last. He just has a lovely, lovely way of just introducing them to the Savior. You know, when they come and help us like this, Gunther has been with us 2.5 years, he'll probably be with us for another year, and then he joins our permanent staff at the end of his training, which is at the end of the summer, about 3 or 4 months' time, he'll be on our permanent staff. And I don't know, he's been with us here, 11, 12. But you know, when they come and work with us here, it isn't just to be a nice polished preacher. Oh, no. I was telling them, all right, unless you can put your arm down a drain right up in the soldier, shoulder, you have to fit along the pulpit. A preacher can't get his hands down, you can fit to preach. And these kids have to do all the great concrete. He's making a face like that because their particular task is to take care of the sewage disposal plant. The other boy on the right is now the German speaking assistant, he's a Swiss boy. He completes his training in June 2. He's joining our permanent staff officer. Wonderful fellows. I don't know where I have to go to. New Zealand, Australia, Timbuktu, I can go into space. And I wouldn't be a bit worried about how things were going at home. Those kids would work day and night and die while running in the world. They're worth a little more. I wouldn't show them to anybody or anything. All right? That's a little kid I'm in Switzerland. I was speaking at the Swiss Keswick in Basel. And I was also invited hate going back to England because my old world is staying in London for a bit. And I hate going back to England and stay seen. And somehow I thought this was a worry. To cut a long story short, it wasn't until the final Sunday that I was sure and had to leave very early Monday morning that I discovered that he didn't have any identity or documents at all. I discovered that his family, his father's now deserted, and unfortunately his mother isn't fit for their mother. When they escaped from the Russian zone, his papers, birth certificate, was left behind. And so the German Western authorities couldn't give him any identity documents because there was no proof that he was a German citizen. So it seemed a sheer impossibility that he could come with me to England, get through Belgium, get through Luxembourg, get through France, get through British immigration. Utterly impossible. But on Sunday night, we ran through to the children's home in Freiburg, Germany, where he'd come from. And you know, ringing through that Sunday night, the sweet Christian lady who was in charge of that children's home says his papers arrived yesterday from the communist authorities. She had tried 7 years to get those papers back and just couldn't get them. Without the time, he arrived in England, all right? There is no problem. But the following summer. He was with me 1 month that summer, but the following April I picked him up by permission of the court in which he was aboard to bring him to England and send him to school. Well, he couldn't speak a word of English, and the first thing he told was to learn English, so I gave him a word of mouth and learn English. Always kept boys' hands busy, you see, and he learned English magnificently, and he's been my home now 2 years. I just had a lot of them just 2 or 3 days ago, giving me his latest exam results and mock exams for the final exams of his general system of education next July. And he's a great kid. I don't know what God plans for class, except that he's put into my family. And he's just like one of my own sons. And I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to seeing him too, 2 weeks on Monday. I expect he'll be at the airport to see me. All right? When I picked him up 2 years ago to bring him, that was a sweet Christian lady who takes care of the children's home. I'm not that picture on the right there. Hamley is his name. He has no home either. None whatever. He never saw his mother after 3 years of age and never known his father. So I invited him for a month. He came over that summer. And the following April, just a year ago, I picked him up, right? And there he is at home in the courtyard. And right, he goes to school too. With class, there they are on the line. So we used to have 3 sons, now we've got 5. All right? My wife never knows really how many children she's got. Those are the kids. When I was in India just a few months ago, she said, I'm quite sure there'll be at least 6 kids back with him. And I think they're on the way. But as a matter of particular interest to one or two folk who know him, and those of the group to whom I told you about him in one of my morning sessions. The fellow who stood on the church steps after I'd had the joy of preaching in that particular church, he looked 7 years ago, my friend, alerted me to him. I went across, asked him his name, he said, Ingrid Lubert. I said, do you know Jesus Christ? Have you seen him as your Savior? And very bitterly, he said, no, I don't. As much as you like to. And very earnestly, he said, yes, with all my heart. I said, strange thing. But you want with all your heart exactly what he wants with all his heart. That's why he died for you. All the way he said, thank you. And I've hardly got the words out of my mouth, but he whipped off his hat, bowed to him, and said, thank you. And that was it. I told folk, I think it was yesterday morning, when I got back to England, there was a lot of reason for me. He said, for 14 months I tried to find peace with God without success. It was 14 days ago, standing on the church steps with my hat in my hand saying thank you, I found peace with God. Now I know Jesus Christ is my Redeemer. This was 3 years later when he came and spent his summer holidays with us. Then he came to our Bible school, and then he worked for 3 years within the general hospital in Liverpool, became a strict registered nurse to go to the mission field. But prior to going to the mission field, he went out to the Prairie Bible Institute. All right, then my Lord visited him. About 2 4 years ago, I took that picture in the Rocky Mountains. After graduating from Prairie Bible Institute, he's been going through various preparatory courses, the last was an interesting course which he finished at Christmas when I was in Calgary, Alberta, 3 weeks ago at the Christian Missionary Lounge Church. He came across from Vancouver, all right, to see me for a few days in Calgary. He returns to England in June, will be visiting my home, but prior to going to the Middle East with the Western Mission, he will be in a weekly translator's course in July and August in southern England. All he did was take off his hat and say, "Thank you." And God changed his life. God changed his life. It's just as simple as that. Now, this is the story of Torchbearing. There's nothing new about it. This is what's going on in 1,001 different ways in 1,001 different countries. This is simply normal Christianity. New Testament Christianity. The life of Christ released the life, reproducing life of the Lord Jesus. I wonder if there's still somebody here tonight that needs simply to bow the head, bow the heart, and say, "Thank you." Do you know, if you would do that, God would be in business. And others would be blessed beyond your wildest dreams or expectations, as his life through you would reach them. Can you ask for any greater reward than that? As the lights are turned on, they will bow their heads for a word of prayer. Loving Lord, we thank you for these young folk, the faces upon whom we've looked. How we bless you for them. We love them very dearly. Thank you for thy concern and love for them. Thank you for the ways and means that thou used to reach them. We thank you for the many thousands of others they represent, whom we already know. But even more exciting, dear Lord, even more thrilling, the thousands of others they represent we haven't yet met, whose faces and yet we've never seen, whose names we've never heard. And you're going to reach them. They're waiting for us round every street corner to the uttermost end of the earth. And there are many of us, dear Lord Jesus, here tonight who want to say to me, "I'm available. No matter where it takes me, night or day, I'm on duty. Available to you to clothe yourself with me as you pursue your ancient task of seeking and saving that which is lost." And dear Lord, if some boy or girl, however young or old, man or woman here tonight, who's never bowed the head and bowed the heart and said thank you, even in these few split seconds, grant that this silent transaction may take place in their hearts, that they may stop existing and begin to live for your name's sake. Amen. Sorry, we're a little bit behind time. Thank you so much for your patience, and God bless you, and I trust a speedy reunion one day.